Coming to you live from the Vegas Video Network studios, just steps from the Las Vegas Strip, it's golf! Another four-letter word. And now your host, you've heard him on ESPN, Fox Sports, and SiriusXM Radio, Mr. Dennis Silvers.
Hi, everyone. Thank you. Thank you very much. Always like to have that. Welcome to this edition of Golf and the Four-Letter Words. As mentioned, I'm your host, Dennis Silvers, and a little birdie just told me before we went on air that I believe this is our 12th show. It's gone by like that. I mean, when you're having fun, you know, everything goes by very quickly. So as a friend of mine here said, we're kind of making, you know, we're on the back nine. So we're going to have a real special deal, I guess, for show number 18. But anyway, welcome to everybody. Glad you're able to spend the next quick 30 minutes with us. We've got another jam-packed show for you to enjoy. Let me introduce our guest, a guy who really needs no introduction. If you've been a regular viewer of the show, and we hope you have, you're going to recognize a return visit from longtime PGA Tour instructor and former PGA Tour player. He's a Hall of Shame, excuse me, Hall of Fame inductee. Let's give it up for Jimmy Ballard. Okay, Jimmy.
Thank you.
How are you, buddy?
Thank you, Dennis.
Glad to have you back.
You said that just like I wrote it down.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you very much. I mean, Jimmy had so much fun on the show. We had so much fun with Jimmy last time. He called me, please, can I come back? Please, can I come back? So when the check cleared, you know, he's sitting here. So we expect a very, very good show. Let me take care of a little business. A couple of ways to get a hold of myself or Jimmy. We've got email, of course, and you know what that is. It's simply golf@VegasVideoNetwork.com, golf@VegasVideoNetwork.com, or you can go to our website, VegasVideoNetwork.com. We've got a little live chat button up there, so just click on the live chat icon, and you can send us your questions, comments, suggestions, whatever you want. So I want you to feel free to use that. Speaking of free, we have a toll-free listener line. Now you've got to be
my daughter. She'll keep.
You've got to be a listener to use it because it is toll-free. Let me give you that number. It is 866-966-4599. 866-966-4599. So whoever just called Jimmy, you got to use the toll-free number.
They're calling you already.
Okay. All right. Don't forget, when you go to Vegas Video Network, make sure that you kind of peruse the site. It'll give you a chance to check out all of the other great shows seen exclusively right here. All right. Also, before we get going, I want to thank a couple of our strategic partners. First one, of course, is being Golfer's Guide, largest golf publication in the United States. As you can see, they're very nice to go to their homepage, LasVegasGolfersGuide.com, and they are streaming our show live right now as we sit. Ooh. So if you have a chance, pick up the publication at a municipal golf course, a private club, they're all over. Do yourself a favor, pick it up. Also, brand new partnership with AM 1400 KSHP. We call it Friday Night Features. Every Friday night from 6 to 10 p.m., you get the audio version of all of the great shows seen right here on the network. And I believe I kick it off at 6 o'clock. So if you got nothing to do, dinner time, turn it on, and we're going to have a good time, I promise. So we thank those. All right, four-letter word for tonight is club. Very simply, club. We want all of our viewers to feel like they are in a great club by watching our show every week. Okay, number one. Number two, our guest tonight is going to tell you in our segment Handicap Helper at the end of the show how to best utilize the club that you're hitting on the golf course. And finally, if you don't watch the show, we're simply going to club you over the head. Okay, so make it real easy. All right, let's get down to work. Our first segment, as you know, one that we like, and for our new viewers, we simply call it Tournament Scorecard. Here it is. All right, welcome back to Golfin'. Other four-letter words, I'm your host, Dennis Silvers, along with Jimmy Ballard. Local Las Vegan, or actually, more correctly, he lives in Henderson. So what's that make him, Hendersonite? I don't know. We're talking about Nick Watney.
Oh, Nick, yeah.
Okay, plays beautifully and wins the Tigers tournament, a.k.a. the AT&T National, for his fourth PGA Tour victory. And I'll tell you, Jimmy, Nick got very, very healthy with this win. Let me tell you what it did for him. FedEx Cup points. He moves from number 5 to number 1 on the FedEx Cup list, with just under 1,800 points, important for the end of the season when these guys play for $10 million. Moves from number 2 to number 1 on the money list with $4.2 million. So obviously he's going to be able to pay his rent for the rest of the year. World ranking points, very important. Moves from number 15 to number 10. Always good to be in the top 10 when you're talking about world ranking points. So congratulations to him on that. And sticking with our theme about top 10s, Nick Watney went from a T3 to a T1 in top 10s. That's also pretty good. You know, when a guy does that, he's making a lot of cash. Also, scoring average went from number 4 to number 1. Again, get this, Jimmy, 69.40, and I think that's in about 53 or 54 rounds. Pretty strong. How do you look at this guy?
Well, I really like him a lot. He's got a great golf swing, and you know, he's proving himself. He's very long off the tee,
yeah,
and I think that helps. But I've heard that his short game is just fantastic. Of course, you don't win without having a great short game on the PGA Tour. You don't win anywhere without having a great short game, as far as that's concerned. But I'm really impressed with him. I get a kick out of looking at him sometimes. Looks like he's the deer in the headlights with his eyes at times, you know.
Yeah.
But he answered his questions real good last week when he just got off the course. But he said, I hit a lot of really good shots and made some good putts. So he gained a lot of confidence from that win.
Absolutely.
And he's not finished walking up that line toward number one either.
Oh, I could not agree with you more. I mean, he's got a lot of talent. That was very evident from the first year he came out on tour. And he's just got a good, solid, all-around game, as you say. And with a win like this, it's got to bolster his confidence. Now, if memory serves me correctly, and it very often does not, by the way, I don't know, something on the water, I believe he's about a 25 or 28 to 1 as far as the odds in the Open next week. You think that's giving him his due, or is that a little disrespect?
Well, somebody ought to go down the sports book and if they believe in it that much, and throw a little money down.
Yeah.
I think he's got a great chance.
I did.
Playing super right now, and great ball control, good mind control, and he made over $1 million last week. And Dennis, that's more than I made.
Yeah. It's more than I made too, Jim.
You're kidding.
That's more than I made too. But just to wrap that up real quickly, I think, Jim, a player has to have three elements to win the Open. Okay, number one, you have to have experience playing a British Open. Okay, you have to have a great imagination to win a British mm-hmm. Open. And thirdly, you have to have experience playing a British Open. It's so important to have that experience. And I don't know how much experience Nick has playing Lynx golf.
Well, when you're hitting it that good and you're on top of the world with your psyche, I think he'll do quite well. You know, John Daly went to Jack Nicklaus when he was getting ready to go with the British Open and said, you were a high ball hitter just like I am. How do you hit it lower? Nicklaus says, just take a lot more club, don't change anything. John Daly wins the Open. The British Open is what we call
right.
it here.
Well, we call the
Do
Open.
Do not call it the British
the
Open
British
if
Open.
You're over
yeah.
there.
That's exactly. And listen, it's being played at Royal St. George's in Scotland, a wonderful golf course. In 2003, I believe, that's where, of all people, Ben Curtis came out of the woodwork and won this golf tournament. So certainly Nick Watney has to be favored, I'm sure, by a lot of people. All right, we're going to step away, take a short station ID right now, and when we come back, we're going to have our second segment called Birdies or Bogeys. So stay with us. We're back right with you right after this.
Let me know when I'm live. Hi, everybody. This is Bridget Magnus of Getting Real Estate in Vegas, and you are watching the Vegas Video Network.
Wow. Welcome back, everybody. I love those station IDs that everybody does here. Welcome back to Golf and Other Four-Letter Words here on Vegas Video Network. I'm Dennis Silvers with my good friend Jimmy the Bull Ballard, as we call him. Birdies or bogeys? All right, Jim, you know how this goes. I'm going to give you the latest tour gossip, tour happenings, whatever. You let me know if it's a birdie or a bogey or what you think, and don't hold back, okay? I don't want you to hold back. All right, the original Big Three together again on the first tee next year at Augusta kick off the Masters, of course. And the Big Three are together again as honorary starters for the Master. Gary Player seems to have agreed to show up next year alongside Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus. And I think the last time these three guys were together was in 2001. And I believe in 99, they really had the prior three, which was the first three. How about this for a group? Gene Sarazen, Byron Nelson, Sam Snead. Talking about a group there, okay? Anyway, birdie or bogey?
I think
it's a birdie?
Yeah.
Why?
Because the Big Three, if you've been around golf for a while, that was just like Tiger, where Tiger infused golf. The Big Three, everybody, Palmer, Player, Nicklaus, the Big Three.
Well, it is the Big Three, and these guys are all fabulous players. But, you know, by that time, we're getting into 2012, Jim, and things have changed. And I don't know whether it has the significance that it once has. I mean, you see all of these guys come up there. They're drooling while they're coming up to the tee. They dink it down the fairway. Mm-hmm. They tip their hat. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. And they disappear. Do we really need that? Do the players really appreciate that, do you think?
No, I think we need Ben Curtis to start off. Nobody knows him. Everybody knows the Big Three.
All right. Well, anyway, that's going to happen next year at the Masters. All right. Moving along, Frenchman Thomas Levay, this is interesting, wins his country's national tournament, the French Open, of course, jumps into a lake to celebrate and fractures his shin, and that's knocking him out for next week to play in the Open. Anyway, go ahead. Birdie or bogey?
Well, I think that's a real bogey. That's a double quadruple bogey.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
I never injured myself jumping in the lakes after victory. Of course, I never had any victory, so you know that's.
I could understand the enthusiasm.
I was afraid of him.
And it's not his fault, obviously.
No,
it was a shallow lake. He got excited, and it was just one of these freak things. He's vehemently trying to get better. He's going to doctors every day, but they're just saying, look, Thomas, it ain't going to happen by the time
Dennis, some of these guys get injured, and we never hear that much from them again.
Yeah. Well, that's true. That is very true. But you got to feel great for him. French Open. By the way, Jim, rumor is that the tournament next year is going to have a name change. It's going to be called the French Kiss. Okay, moving right along there. All right, on that same track, PGA Tour star Bubba Watson missed the cut in the French Open, suggesting that fan behavior and poor security was the reason behind his poor performance, and said he wasn't going to ever again play in Europe. Now, he didn't understand that, seriously, France allows the gallery folks to take pictures, to use audio recording devices, and you know, pretty much pop a wine cork whenever they want. And Bubba wasn't used to it, and he's blaming everybody else. Birdie or bogey?
Well, I think that's a bogey.
Yeah, I agree.
He's acting too much like Colin Montgomery. You know, come on. Keep your ears closed. Play golf.
Yeah, play golf.
Look forward.
That's exactly right. But you got to look forward. But you have to understand. By the way, when you competed on tour, did you ever play across the pond or in Europe or
No, I didn't.
Outside of the United States?
I was afraid of the water. That's why I didn't jump in after the victory. And that was a little pond.
Oh, my gosh. I like that. All right. Anyway, that's...
I played in three Canadian Opens, okay. But I didn't have to cross water to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's... different country, Canada. I mean, that's, you know, they have a national championship
there's
there.
Some great courses up there.
In Canada, they have some wonderful golf courses up there. Absolutely correct. We've got a, and that's, we've got a pretty full handicap helper, and then we're going to go to that segment right now. This is a chance for you to get online, send us your chat question. Use the toll-free number, email me and Jimmy if you want your question answered so we could help your game. And I look forward to this because it helps you, it helps me. We call it Handicap Helper. Okay, everybody, welcome back. I'm Dennis Silvers along with Jimmy Ballard, and you're listening to Golf and Other Four-letter words right here on the Vegas Video Network. Jimmy, Joanne emailed me and wants to know how to play your ball when it's in the fairway but just up against the first cut of rough. Okay?
Okay, depends on
how do you handle it.
Well, is it the right-hand cut or the left-hand cut? You know, if you're on the right-hand cut and you're a right-hander, then the toe of the club is going to receive that taller grass before the heel does. So it's liable to throw that club face open. So maybe you ought to aim a little further left and hold on more firm with your left hand. And
good
if you're
point.
In the left side, the heel is going to contact the taller grass,
right,
and it's going to flip the toe over. So once again, hold on a little firmer with your grip and maybe aim the club face slightly to the right to make up for that toe flipping over.
Good advice. And Joanne, you didn't, that's a good point Jim made. You didn't say whether it was on the right hand or the left hand side, and that does make a difference, but it's a very good question. And I just say, how about a foot mashie? Just kick it away a little bit.
If
and
nobody,
no problems.
If nobody's watching.
If nobody's watching. All right, Scott, we got a live chat question.
We do, from Nate. Nate says he's a golf newbie and wants to know, when you say somebody goes from a T3 to a T1, what do you mean by that?
That's a legitimate question, and I probably should have clarified that. Sorry about that, Nate. A T3 means that you're tied for third. Mm-hmm. When you go to a T1, you're also tied with one or more other people in first position. So I should have clarified that. That's a T3 to a T1. Mm-hmm. You could finish T15th in a tournament. That means other people,
you're tied,
at least one
them.
Other guy tied with you. So your ranking is a tied 15th. But they shortcut it and they go T1. All right. Leonard emails in and wants to know, Jim, he asks, why, and this is a great question, why more people don't use the 10-fingered or what's commonly referred to as the baseball grip? And I can answer this one. Because you ain't playing baseball, you're playing golf. No.
Yeah,
but
and
that's
I'll
a good
answer
question.
Too. Your three basic grips are your 10-finger, full-finger baseball grip that he's talking about, your interlocking grip where the little finger of your right hand and the index finger of your left hand, if you're a right-hander, is interlocking grip, or the overlapping grip where the little finger of your right hand just overlaps. You see, all the grips work. I know Bob Rosberg and there have been others that have won PGA championships with a full finger grip. If you have small hands or you're starting the game, I think you should use a full finger grip. One of my students, Dave Barr, when I was at Southern Hills in Tulsa, when he was playing for Oral Roberts University, full finger grip. We never changed it. Never changed it. I think that it's a more secure grip for a lot of people.
Yeah,
more
there,
people ought to use it.
There, that's good advice. And there have been a lot of very good players over the decades that have used a full fingered grip, as you say. And there's, I think there's some advantage to it also.
What grips do you guys use?
I personally do the overlap, mm-hmm, like most players, and
I do too.
Do too. Yeah, as opposed to Tiger, a lot of other people, they do the interlock, and
mm-hmm,
you know, they feel that's a little bit more secure. But certainly nothing wrong with the 10-fingered grip. Scott, another live chat question on board.
Oh, nope, I'm sorry, that was the question.
Oh, that was the question. All right, Jimmy, Gary wants help with how to chip off of tight lies, and that is a great question because a lot of people have trouble hitting shots, chip shots, off tight lies.
Well, the worst thing is going to try to help the ball get up in the air. You know, if it's a chip shot, it's not going to get very high anyway, even with a a lob wedge because chips don't get high. There's not enough club head speed. But you should take out more loft than normal, play the ball further back than normal, because this is going to ensure that you hit the ball first. Do not try to help it in the air and move your weight back away from the target. That's what people do. They want to help it up. They rock back and they hit behind it, or they hit fat. And or to flip it with your wrist, try to help it up. Let the club do its work.
Yeah, absolutely. Let the club. And going back, just digressing for a minute on the 10-fingered grip, I remember I wanted to ask you, and I forgot to ask you, after my last lesson with you, when I was walking away, I think you gave me, I think it was one finger. Was that something to do with my grip? Or
That was a lot to do with your performance.
Okay, with my performance. All right, there you go. Edward wants advice on how to play a bunker shot out of wet sand. I love it. Great question, Edward.
Hey, a bunker shot out of wet sand. You have to have the club a little closer to the ball. You don't want to hit too far behind the ball because the bounce will ricochet on up into the ball. You have to hit closer to the ball. You also have to hinge your wrist a little quicker, need abrupt, a more vertical attack, so you're not as sweeping as you are in the other bunker shots.
Is the stance, you know, you see typically people getting in a bunker and, you know, they're working their feet in the stand to secure the grip. Is that affected with wet sand also, Jim?
Well, a little bit.
A different technique.
It's just harder to bury your feet, harder to bury your feet in there, you know. But no, I believe you should have a little wider stance than normal so you can stay very stable in there.
And get ready for the splatter, right? On that?
Well, I don't wear as good a clothes as you. So
yeah. All right. Monica is looking for a drill. And this is a good one, too, because a lot of people have this problem, including Wah. That's why I go to him. Monica's is looking for a drill to stay more flexed in her swing.
Okay, well, she's probably talking about keeping her spine angle from going up and down, or mainly if she's saying flex, she's probably relating to the knees more than anything. And you've got to start with a little flex in your knees. All athletics are played with a little shock absorbers in your knees. And then they can't get locked up before you hit the ball either, because if you start with flexing your knees and then you lock up your legs before impact, you got taller, but the ball didn't.
Yeah. Jim, and I want you to clarify this for me and our viewers as well. I think some people, or a lot of people, actually get confused. They hear that you've got to stand tall at the ball, like you tell me, get in a very athletic position. And I think that confuses them when you start all of a sudden talking about flex and keeping your spine angle. Can you clarify that briefly?
Well, if you have a spine angle, like if I'm going toward this camera here, here's your tailbone, the elbow, here's your head. Whatever spine angle you assume, you should turn on that spine angle back and through. Now, the lady's talking about losing the flex in her knees. And when she does, then she's up. She's up. You start with flex. The only time I saw straight legs work in a golf swing, well, it wasn't in a golf swing. It was in a casket.
Oh, it was in a casket. All right.
In a casket.
I gotcha.
Stiff legs work there.
Absolutely. Scott, another live chat.
Yeah, Bill wants to know, when working with a part-time golfer, what do you find is the most common mistake or mechanics problem they have?
The left-hand grip is the biggest violation of all basics. Left-hand grip. They set it way up in their hand on the left hand. The left hand is turned toward the target, and it's all over. You've used it all up. Get it down your fingers, let your arms hang like they naturally hang, and you won't have a big problem.
That's good advice, too. That is very good advice. Okay. I'd be remiss, Jim, if I didn't ask you. You know, we talk, and everybody talks about Tiger Woods a lot, but I would be remiss because this is a big story. Tiger tweeted, had it on his website the other day. I predicted this weeks ago on my other shows that I really thought he was going to be missing this tournament. Sure enough, Tiger's not going to play in the Open. Everybody knows he has health issues. He's been urged to just rest and rest and rest and rehab, and it looks like he's finally taking some advice. What's your thought on that?
Well,
and he was a 12-1 favorite, by the way.
If he's looking for another instructor, I hope he comes and sees me.
Yeah,
That'd be better.
I hope he comes to see you too.
That'd be better than John Schmoltz.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
like on the other show, he needs a lot of help. 84-87 on the nationwide
tour. That's true.
But Tiger should go ahead and let his knees get as good as they can get. I understand he's trying to change his swing right now. But, you know, he's had one that was working real good.
Yeah.
You know, when you win the Masters by 12 and you win the U.S. Open by 15, you were doing something pretty good. And there's this strange thing we have nowadays. It's called film. Yeah, we've got that. He can go back to the year 2000, get films of his swing, and look at them. That's what Johnny Miller said. That's what he ought to do.
Yeah. See what he was doing, makes advice. But I do give him credit. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago that he's finally owning up, if you will. And, you know, it's getting better. I'm going to be there. And blah, blah, blah. He's finally owning up and saying, you know, I'm not quite ready. I'll get there when I get there. And I think I give him kudos for that. All right, we've got some golf next week. PGA Tour, the John Deere Classic at a good golf course, TPC, at Deer Run in Silvis, Illinois. Women's Tour has a huge one, the U.S. Open. At the Broadmoor, that name seems appropriate.
It does.
At the Broadmoor
and
Colorado Springs, wonderful golf course. Champions Tour, the Nature Valley First Tee Open at Pebble Beach. Can you guess where that is? That's in Monterey, obviously. That's where all of the old guys play with the young guys from the First Tee, and you know, it's if you like that kind of thing, it's great, but it happens every year. Nationwide Tour is not in action. European Tour has a huge one. They refer to it as the warm-up for the Open next week. It's a good tournament, the Barclays Scottish Open, and of course that's in Inverness, Scotland, and that really is a good tournament. You know, anyway, before we leave, Jim, let our viewers know where they can get a hold of you if they want some help with their swing. If you're, mental matters, for that matter.
If you're a bill collector, please don't get a hold of me. But if if you want a golf lesson to help you, you can call me at 496-7087. I give my lessons at Palm Valley Golf Course in Sun City, Summerlin.
Okay. And, of course, you can always call the pro shop there if you don't have that number and just say, put me through to the bull. You know, he's gonna, you know, Jim Ballard down on the range. Jim, always great advice.
Thank you very much,
Dennis. Always great having you on. Always good seeing you. And good luck out there. And, of course, we'll do it again. Also, real quickly, who do you think is going to win the Open next week at Royal St. George's?
I think it's a toss-up. But you know what? Rory McIlroy knows he can do it now.
He's 5-1, by the way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think he's a good bet.
I don't know. You know, Colin Montgomery, Ryder Cup captain forever. Great player, kind of criticized him, doesn't think he can get it done. Two majors in a row is a phenomenal feat, number one. Rory hasn't played competitively. It's going to be 3 weeks. That's going to be tough, Jim.
Well, you know what? He's got the mindset for it now.
Yeah.
He thinks he can do it, and that's the number one thing you have to think, that you can pull off any shot or you can play a golf course well.
That's important. It's going to be a great tournament, so... make sure you don't miss it next week. And speaking of next week, we're going to have another great show for you right here, same place on Vegas Video Network. So thanks for hanging with us for this quick 30 minutes I told you. And we appreciate you watching the show. We love bringing it to you. Fairways and greens to everybody. We'll see you right back here next week with another great guest. So long, everybody.